If you have found it harder these days to get money and funding for your real estate deals, well, you're at the right place, my friend, because I'm getting ready to give you in just a moment a free copy of my brand new book, Where to Get the Money Now for Your Real Estate Deals Without Relying on Traditional or Hard Money Lenders. Don't go anywhere. Well, hello there. I'm Jay Conner, the Private Money Authority, welcoming you here to Real Estate Investing with Jay Conner. And we're so excited to have you. If you're brand new here to the show, a very special welcome to you. You may be viewing and or watching us or listening on iTunes or Google Play or watching us on one of our YouTube channels. Regardless of where you're tuning in from, we really appreciate you liking, sharing, subscribing, ringing that bell so you don't miss out on our fantastic interviews that we have with real estate investors from all across the country. Here on the show, we talk about all things that relate to real estate investing. We talk about single family houses. We talk about commercial deals. We talk about small apartments, duplexes, large apartments. We talk about land deals, self-storage, and everything in between. Now, if you're brand new to the show, a little bit about myself real quick. My wife, Carol Joy, and I started investing in single family houses here in Eastern North Carolina back in 2003. And since that time, we've rehabbed over 400 houses, done a lot more deals than that, but that's been the rehabbing part of our business. And for the first 6 years, we relied on local banks, traditional lenders to fund our real estate deals. And in January 2009, I got cut off from the banks like the rest of the world. Yes, it was a global financial crisis. Well, I was introduced to this world of private money and private lending and that same month in January 2009, and I was able to raise over $2 million in less than 90 days using private money and private lenders. Since that time, I haven't missed out on a deal. Today, we've got 44 private lenders that are funding our deals. And as I said a moment ago, you know, if you found it harder today than you did a year ago to get funding for your real estate deals, I've got a free gift for you just for the asking. So my brand new book, Where to Get the Money Now Without Relying on Traditional Money or Hard Money Lenders. This is getting money from private lenders. So I've got this free book ready to ship to you. I'll autograph it for you. I'll send it to you for free. All I ask for you to do is just cover the shipping and handling, which is just a couple of bucks, and we'll ship it right out to you. All you got to do is go to www.jayconner.com/book, B-O-O-K. Again, that's jayconner.com/book, and I'll get the book rushed and shipped right out to you. Well, if you've been tuning into the show at all since we launched My Lands coming up on almost 3 years ago, you know that I have phenomenal experts and guests come here on the show. Well, today is no exception whatsoever. My special guests today are very passionate about helping everyday people who may be interested in creating wealth through real estate investing. Well, this dynamic couple, as of today, they have bought and flipped over 600 houses with a lot of success. I mean, these flips value are worth over $57 million and still counting. So this couple knows a thing or two about real estate investing. So you see, they continue even today to flip houses as they help everyday people change their lives by teaching them about how to find and fund and fix and flip and hold properties in order to create immediate cash flow and assets that generate long-term passive income. Now, they started their career in real estate investing, quite frankly, out of sheer desperation. You see, they were in $80,000 worth of credit card debt, and they needed to make some big chunks of cash just to get out from underneath the debt of their credit card. So in 2007, They flipped their first house, made $17,000 profit. Then they went on to their second house and they profited $33,000 in just a very, very short 33 days. That's when they knew that they were onto something. So they've always been wanting to help people make a difference in their lives. So when they got their business model put together, got it proven, do that by teaching other people their success formula. So as I said, as of now, they have flipped over 600 houses and counting. Well, this couple didn't have any like formal education in real estate investing, but their knowledge and their expertise comes from hands-on real life experience. What's that called? That's called the Knox. And they got a strong desire for a better life for themselves and for their family. They just knew they had to get more out of life than a 9-to-5 job. So with that, I'm so excited to have here on the show with me today, my good friends, Glenn and Amber Schwarm. Welcome to the show, Amber and Glenn.
Thank you so much. That was quite the introduction.
I can't wait to hear these special guests. They sound amazing.
Yeah, and they're actually besides smart, they're actually a really good-looking couple, too.
I can't wait to meet them. They sound awesome.
So it's so good to have you here on the show. You had me on your show, on your podcast not too long ago. In fact, so I don't forget, tell everybody about your show and how they can start following you.
Yeah, we do the Real Estate of Mind show with Glenn and Amber Schwarm. So we talk all things real estate. You know, we talk about contractors and flipping and holding and Airbnbs and, you know, just all things real estate and also how to work together as a couple.
We also really talk about on our podcast, we like to kind of dive into, we call it the Real Estate of Mind show because we believe that the mechanics are 20% of what we do. We buy low, we sell high, we fix, we buy and sell, we do wholesale, we negotiate with contractors. Those are all things you can teach in a regular book, but 80% of our success in life is mental. And I think that's once we can overcome those challenges in life, once you can overcome the mental challenges, then sky's the limit. But until you're only going to be as successful as your mind will let you be.
Yep.
So we believe in really working on that. Most people have 6 inches in between their ears is the most expensive or most valuable real estate. Mine's about 8 inches. I have a big noggin. So mine's a little bigger than most. So yeah, that's what we work on our podcast. You can go to glennandamber.com, right? glennandamber.com and learn about our podcast shows, all that kind of stuff. And that's where you can find about us, glennandamber.com.
Now, Glenn has got two N's, folks, for those of y'all that are listening. So that's www.glenn, G-L-E-N-N, and A-N-D, Amber, A-M-B-E-R.com. Again, that's G-L-E-N-N and A-N-D, Amber, A-M-B-E-R. So what year did you all invest in your first single family house? I mean, you've done over 600 of these houses now. What year did you start?
Yeah, it's about 700 now. We started back in 2007. So right before the real estate housing crisis, right? It wasn't just a financial crisis. It was a real estate housing crisis, real estate crisis. And we bought our first house in 07. It sold in early 08. And that's when we made 17 grand on. Then we decided to do one the first year, three the second year, seven the next year. And so we grew from 7 to 20. That was a bad year.
Yeah, we had some growing pains during that.
Yeah, we didn't have systems in place and whatnot. But that was kind of how our journey went. Now we have a full blown company with team members. Most of them work virtually. We're actually in upstate New York for now. But our team works virtually here.
But I think it's important too. Like we started.
I thought I was done, but I guess I'm not.
He's not done. You know, we started when everybody said the sky is falling. Don't do real estate. You know, like it was bad in real estate, and we didn't know any different. So we just kind of like jumped in head first and just went at it, feet first or head first. What is that saying?
Whatever you do, I don't know. So.
But, you know, and I think that's really applicable because of the time we're in right now. You know, we are in the era of COVID right now. And I think people might be sitting on their hands wondering, you know, what should I do out of fear and maybe not making a move? Yeah. And we would say, go for it.
Yeah. I see in life, when you have a dream, you have to go for it for sure. I'd say going back a step, though, when we first started our first year, we got a bank loan to do our first flip and use credit cards to finance the rest. We're $80,000 in debt. We used every ounce of everything we had. That first flip, we were actually down to our last $1,500 or $1,400 in anything like cash, credit, home equity. We had used everything to make this deal work. And so it had to sell. And I had mortgage payments coming due. And if that didn't sell the month it sold in, I don't know where I'd be today. But it finally sold and we got going. And then we did the next, we had two more deals under contract after that. But here's where here's where yours and my story crossed years ago that you didn't know until 12 years later, right? Till our last podcast we did. And that was literally the industry when the housing market, when the crash happened in 08, I had two houses under contract to purchase. And the banks, they yanked all the funding. And I remember saying, well, no, I have good credit. I just flipped the house. I'm a professional. I just flipped the house. They didn't care. They yanked all that funding. I had to find another way to fund my deals. And lo and behold, I, through a weird twist of fate, I had a CD. This is back before it was high tech to have things playing on your phone, all that kind of stuff. I had a CD player. I guess I'm dating myself, right? Seems weird to say I'm dating myself with a CD player, but I guess I was. So I had a CD player. And I remember jogging around the condo that we lived in. That was the second purchase we had. We tried to flip a condo, but that was our home. And I was walking around. I heard this guy with a Southern accent and talking about private money. Didn't even know who he was. But years later, we joined that mastermind group. And so let me, before I tell you years later, I heard all of what you said, and I don't remember any call to action. You don't think you had your books and stuff back then? I don't know. I don't think you had all. Maybe you did, but I didn't hear. You know, it wasn't so, information didn't travel so fast like it does now, right? And so I wasn't sure how to get a hold of you or who you even were. And I'm thinking, well, he's way up there. I can't talk to him because I'm just a guy that's flipped the house. Who am I? I'm just some idiot from New York.
Plus, I think he just likes people from the South, Jay.
Clearly. Very true. No argument there. So I was literally walking around and I listened to all of the concepts that you had in that train. I was like, well, I can do that. And it took me a while to piece it together. Like, you know, having something like you have now makes it so much easier to shorten the learning curve. Because it took me several months of banging my head against the wall and trying to figure it out. But I did, but it took a long time. And I really wish I had known how to get my hands on what you have now. But anyways, long story short, I did that. I started getting private funding. And since then, we've raised over $5 million in private lender funds that we use just from average everyday folks. These aren't hedge funds or ridiculously wealthy people. Matter of fact, they're just people that want to make a better return. So we did that. And we used a lot of concepts that you did. And I didn't even know who you were until, you know, about a year ago, we're in our mastermind group. And I'm like, boy, that voice sounds familiar. The Private Money Authority. That guy sounds familiar. And then we had our podcast. I'm like, that's got to be the same voice. And here we are. So without you, Jay, we may not be here. So I have to tell you, I debt of gratitude, didn't even know who you were and that kind of stuff. But by that training you did, it got us into private lending. And that let us do deals when nobody else was doing deals up here in New York. And people were like, how are you finding the money? I'm like, I don't know. It's just happening. You know, we're just out there grinding and finding deals. So
yeah, it opened up a lot of possibilities. I think a lot of people think that they have to use their own money to get started in investing. And when people understand, you know, the power of using other people's money, it is like that light bulb goes off and they have that aha moment and they're like, oh, so that's how you do it.
I teach it my trainings all the time. I say, you know, the golden rule in life is he who has the gold makes the rules. But I believe that the golden rule in investing is he who has access to the most money is the one who wins. So that's just having private money just made it a lot easier for us.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate you sharing that that part of your success story. So, you know, y'all really have been down the road or been to the school of hard knocks. And something that would really be valuable to our listeners is, what are some of the like really, really important big lessons learned, or if you had to do it all over again, you wouldn't do it that way, or you wouldn't make that mistake again, that, you know, I tell folks, you know, you're either going to make your own mistakes or you're going to learn from other people's mistakes. And it's a lot cheaper to take heed, pay attention to what other people have done that was not the best way to do it. So, you don't fall into those kind of pits. So what's some of the big lessons learned or mistakes you've made that you could share with folks?
How long is your show?
Well, let's start with one big one and see how long it takes.
I think I can think of two, like, right off the top of my head. One is pretty simple. One is don't pay contractors up front because they'll screw you almost every time. And two is don't do the work yourself. And I think that's another big misconception in real estate is that if I do the work, I'm going to be saving all this money on labor. And the time it takes you to do that, especially if you're a weekend warrior that's just doing it on the side, which is how most people start out, you're only able to be there, you know, on the evenings and weekends. Whereas if you have, and so it'll take you six to nine months to get a house done. Where if you have a contracting crew to do it, you know, it's going to take you probably 4 to 6 weeks to get the renovation done. So the money you pay in holding cost during that difference more than makes up for the money you just would have paid the contractor, and you would have saved yourself all of the headache. And the other side to that is you can only be in one place at a time too. So if you want to do multiple projects at a time, you have to hire it out instead of doing it yourself.
I would say for me, it would have been to get a good coach early on. I've learned in my life that positioning myself around the right people shortens time. It just shortens the learning curve. And we won't, you know, you hit a certain point in life. I'm 52, and you hit a certain point in life where you say to yourself, you know, I'm don't have endless days, and I want to make sure that I use them the best of my ability. I can either beat my head against the wall, just literally beat my head against a concrete wall. That's what it feels like half the time when you're trying to figure stuff out for yourself. Or I can hire somebody that has been down the road to coach me. Now, I still have to take that advice and apply it. I think a lot of people sometimes hire a coach and then go, yeah, so that's a good idea, but I'm going to do it my way. Okay, well, you know, I can't help you there. But I think that had I had that and had I learned how to, I always tell everybody, we make our money when we buy real estate. And if we don't buy right and if we use eraser math on our sheets, you know, we do workshops and we give out what's called a home flipping evaluator. And so I always tell people, if you use eraser math, you will get burned. If you say to yourself, well, I could do that kitchen cheaper. I could find lumber. I could go to the garage sale and find that part. And you start doing eraser to make and go, I make this deal work. Numbers don't lie. And so I think that that's a really important thing is to just know your numbers going in. I think that we've lost money on a few deals over the years and it hurts. And when you lose money, it stings. And I think for me, it's like sticking my hand in hot coals. Every time at our workshops, I'll talk about losing money on the first day, like right in the morning. They're like, you talk about losing money. I say, yeah, because I'm honest. I talk about stuff. I mean, if you can lose money in real estate. If you're in real estate long enough,
you will.
You do enough deals. They're not all going to be home runs. I hate to tell you. So some you skin buy, some buy. Sometimes if you make nothing, you've made money, right? So I think that for me, it's just about the numbers. That's an important part.
And so a lot of times we get stuck in there. We live life on our emotions, a lot of us do. And so if you can take the emotion out of it and make business decisions, that can help you make the right kind of decisions too.
Yeah, growing too fast. Another one I can think of, Jay, is when we grew that year from 7 to 20, we got out of control. Didn't have the right systems in place. Didn't have the right process and procedure.
Didn't have the right people.
We didn't have the right people.
We were trying to wear all the hats ourselves. And, you know, again, you can only be in one place at a time. And
yeah.
So we were trying to wear too many hats.
Thinking you're invincible. That's definitely not, because we were like, well, no one else is doing this. We're really good at this. You start getting a big head, it'll get popped. No question about it, like a big balloon. So,
yeah, Amber, you say, you know, don't do the work yourself. Make sure you hire it out. I couldn't agree more for more than one reason. First of all, I don't even know how to swing a hammer without hitting my thumb, right? And, you know, there's no way that you can scale yourself or grow yourself if you're doing it. You know, sometimes people will say, well, you know, if I'm going to hire it out to a general contractor, then, you know, I've got to, I mean, there's no way I can find deals that's got enough spread in it to where I can afford to hire a contractor. Well, obviously there is. I never rehabbed a house myself. I don't think you all have. And here's the deal. I had a student tell me a few years ago that I was teaching at a live event and we were having this conversation about who should rehab your houses. And, you know, one student raised their hand and said, oh, Jay, I got to tell you, I rehab my own houses because when I rehab my own houses, not only do I save money, but rehabbing myself is like therapy. I looked at the student and I said, well, let me tell you something. A person that rehabs their own house needs therapy, is what I'm saying. Needs therapy, right? So, You know, so yeah, you know, if a house, now not all real estate deals need rehabbing, right?
Sure.
There's the pretty house business, right? And I do the pretty house business, but the majority of the business I do is rehabbing, because you're not going to make an average profit. What's your all's average profit conservatively on a house these days?
On a flip or on a wholesale?
On a flip.
You know, probably about 52 to 54 in that range here.
Ours is the same. Mine and Carol Joy, our average is 67,000. Our median price is $200,000, $225,000. And of course, to make $50,000 or $60,000 on a $225,000 house that's got a $30,000 rehab, you gotta know how to find the deals to where you can actually buy a house at 50% of the after repaired value. Let me restate that. To make these kind of profits, you gotta know how to find the deals to where you can buy them at pennies on the dollar, you know, half or less than half of the after repaired value. So that brings me to my next question for you too. And that is, in today's market, I hear it all across the country. I hear students asking all the time and saying, Jay, it's harder than ever. It's harder than ever to find the deals. It's a hot market, even in the midst of COVID. It's a hot market. As soon as a house hits the market in the multiple listing service, the house is gone. How are you finding your deals? So there's my question, Glenn and Amber. In today's market, how do you find the deals?
So for us, Jay, we've been doing marketing for a lot of years. And so we've done everything from radio to TV to direct mail to, we did a lot of bandit signs for a lot of years. I never loved those things, but they work. People call out those things. So we did that for a lot of years, you know, the bird dogging and all that stuff. What we do now is a combination of direct mail. We've been doing TV for a number of years. And so we have a lot of TV ads that run. And that's not for everybody when you first start out doing TV ads, but if you can make the investment and start to do that, you'll see a huge return. Because if you're spending a couple $1,000 a month in TV marketing, you know, if you do it right, and you look reputable and all that kind of stuff, and you have a good reputation, the phone will ring. And it takes one deal at $50,000 to take care of a lot of years of marketing. So you have to sort of think about that when you're going in. But TV is one way. Again, direct mail works for us. We have some competition. I know some markets, they say people are getting 300 letters when they, you know, they're going into foreclosure or they're having tax problems or whatever, but that's the way to do it. Certainly driving for dollars is a big one that we do. Just looking for those vacant houses and whatnot. But I will tell you that for us, it's a grind. We're like everybody else. We know that it's hard out there. We still buy, you know, I think we're doing between 8 to 10 deals a month right now. Maybe we're averaging eight to nine. We're averaging. We're having a hard time closing in upstate New York. That's a whole different conversation, but during COVID, but we're doing about 8 or 9 deals. That's a combination of wholesales, renovations, and buying rentals and whatnot. But the phone rings to us probably, I don't know, 100 and some times a month. We're buying one of every 15 to 20 house, you know, leads that call in. So maybe it's a couple hundred times. I don't have my exact math there for what we're buying, but what one out of 20 I know is what we buy. So I think people forget that it's a process. And just because someone says, well, you're going to buy, let's say, one out of 20 leads. So if you need 20 leads to buy a house, people go, well, I had 20 leads last week. I didn't get a single house. Well, you know what? It might take you 40. It might take you 60. And then you buy 3 within a week. Right. And it's you have to play the numbers. It's really it's a mathematical game. It is math. Marketing is math. So whatever method you choose, direct mail, TV, knocking on doors, driving for dollars, whatever, bandit signs, when the phone rings to you, that's an opportunity to make money, right? But you have to go through the opportunities. You have to sift through all the dirt to find the gold, period. And if you don't sift through the dirt, you'll never find the gold. And I think most people make the biggest mistake is that they start sifting and go, man, this is kind of hard. I didn't find it. I don't know. It doesn't work for me. I can't find a house. Well, guess what? You get what you focus on. So if you keep saying that, you're right. But if you keep digging, you keep grinding, you keep looking and looking and looking, it may not be, you know, you may get pissed off too, because you may have a friend of yours who had 5 phone calls and they bought a deal and made 70 grand. That happens. But they may not find another deal for 60 leads, you know, but you might find one in your 40, but you have to go through the process. If you take a systematic approach to it and you just simply, you know, Jay, you said when you were on our show, you said you can never fail if you just don't give up, right? And I wrote that down. I said, that's fantastic. That's, you know, I know that, but hearing someone else say it back in a different way was like, of course. You know, you're never over. So same with when you're out there marketing. It's a tough market to find houses in, no question about it. And the bigger your city, the more competition, the harder it is to find those deals. But it doesn't mean they're not out there.
And the golden nugget, I think, in that is to find off-market deals. Because if you're out there competing with everybody else that's just looking on the MLS, you know, if you stick with the masses, you're probably not, that's going to be even more challenging. You have to kind of go against the grain and carve your own road there and look for the off-market deals if you're going to find something that's...
I would also say this, agreed. I would also say this, reputation is huge. I think when you start this from day one, you should be thinking about your own reputation. Do you want to be a snake oil salesman? Do you want to be someone who's gouging people? Do you want to be someone, I mean, we're all
taking
looking for
advantage of people.
Yeah, we're all looking for deals, don't get me wrong. But if you're in a situation where you feel like you're about to take advantage of somebody really bad, maybe you don't go so bad, right? Maybe you figure that out. So, I think if you try and do what's right for people and try, you know, it's a win, you're trying
make
to find
a
good deal too, but try and make it a win-win and have a good reputation that will stay with you, right? It takes years to build a good reputation. It takes one bad deal or one dishonest, unethical deal to ruin your entire reputation. But if you have a strong reputation, deals will come to you, not in your first week, not in your first month, maybe not in your first 3 years, but eventually. I had a phone call today from a guy that this guy does some private chef work at our house for some private parties. Sometimes he's awesome. But anyways, he texted me today and said, hey, my sister's got a house for sale. It probably needs fixing. Love to know if you guys take care of it. We may be the only ones calling him back. I gave it right to my team and said, hey, this guy's a friend of mine. Take care of it. I don't know if we'll buy it or not. It's just one of those many leads. But if we do, I probably won't compete with anybody else. Why? Because of reputation. And I don't mean just in how you do business with the people that do business with you, but how you do business with everybody around you. This guy that sent this to me is a chef, and I met him through someone gave him to me as a gift one time to come to my house and do a private dinner for six people, which you ever done that, Jay? You have to go do it. It's a ton of fun.
Super fun.
Yeah, but so we did that, and I've had him come four or five times since then, and every time I've treated him well, I've tipped him well, I treat him with respect, I help him bring stuff from the car. You know, I don't treat him like I just treat him like an equal, and because he is, and we do our thing. But I think that reputation precedes us because now they want to do business with us. And that had nothing to do with real estate, but he heard so many conversations around our table about real estate that he's like, these guys are real people. These guys are good. They're not here sitting around talking about being snakes and screwing people. He hears good conversations, good solid stuff. I think the better person you can be in general in your community, I think the better you will do in business. That is a long-term investment. That takes time, and you've got to be good and be patient, but it will pay off.
You just mentioned that your chef gave you a lead, and then you took that lead and you handed it off to your team member. Let's talk about your team. You've put together an awesome team that allows you to have your own podcast show, be on other people's podcasts, you know, to where you're not, you know, running in circles, and you're actually able to create the life that, you know, the two of you want to enjoy. So what does your team look like? How many you got? What do they do? Who's on 1099? Who's on W-2? And what's that look like?
So we have an integrator named Spencer. So an integrator, he's like a COO, chief operating officer. So his job is to take my vision and make it a reality. So he's the one neck I get to ring. That's what we joke around here. He's the neck I get to ring in my office. So I talk to him on a daily basis, 5 minutes a day or so, sometimes 10. And then once a week, we have a meeting. He then runs the meetings, right? So he runs the meetings. We've got a sales manager. We have two acquisitions managers underneath him. We have a dispositions manager with a dispo girl under her. Then we have home inspectors that go out and look at the home. Now, these aren't certified home inspectors. They're people that go out and take pictures for our acquisitions team. So in other words, Jay, the phone rings. Our team goes through a few questions. They pull it up on Zillow or whatever they look up on our software. They give them a ballpark offer where we're going to be on that house. And if they accept, if they say, you know what, that's in my range, then we send out somebody. One of those is our son, actually. Our 21-year-old son is one of those guys. And they'll go out and take pictures of the house, do a 3D. We have a camera that does a 3D walkthrough picture and whatnot. And our team will get the paperwork signed. Usually before they go out, they'll get paperwork signed. That's it. Then it comes back, and right away, our dispositions team then puts it through our marketing, and sells that house. Now, we also do a lot of renovations, right? So we have a project manager. He's got people on his team as well. So he's got a lot of people that are contractors that work for him also, but we have some subs that work underneath him, just more helping us. We have video guys, does some of our video work, that kind of stuff. And we have a big coaching business too. That's a whole different thing with about 30 employees. We can talk about that in a minute, but we have that whole leg of our business also. We actually run about 6 businesses out of here in total. But we're not involved in them every day because we're putting the right people in the right places.
And that was a game changer for us, Jay, because in the past we've just kind of hired off of our gut, you know, and a lot of times we ended up with the wrong butts in the wrong seats. And that kind of goes back to your original question too, of some things that you would do different. And we ended up finding this company that does a test called PI, Predictive Index. And when we started putting our candidates through that test, you know, it measures their aptitude for the job. It measures their personality for the job. It measures, you know, whether they have the
skills
for it. I mean, the test is like, it's actually pretty amazing. It tells you how to communicate with them and how they communicate with the outside world. And like when we started getting the right butts in the right seats, that was a huge game changer for us.
And making sure everyone's accountable. That was a big game changer. So just saying, hey,
keeping your KPIs,
go make it happen. Well, you can't do that with people. You have to say, listen, we're going to have regular meetings. Here's how we're going to structure our meetings. There's a book, you can get the book called Traction. That's really how we run our meetings. But a shorter version is called What the Heck is EOS, Entrepreneur Operating System. And so that we implemented last summer, absolute game changer. Like I never, during COVID, I made an investment in our company when I didn't even know if we're going to be in business.
And even for us, like when we personally did that test, you know, it's very eye-opening because you're like, yeah, that is the way I tick. And sometimes we try to do things because we think they just need to get done. But like just for example, Glenn is an off the charts visionary. And so, you know, he would always like be in these meetings and whatever. And he'd be very distracting though. Like visionaries can be very distracting personalities and they can actually get people off track. You know, you might be going in a direction and then, oh, there's a shiny object. Let's turn the whole ship that way. And so
I don't know what you mean, but let me tell you what I was going to say. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
So even by learning those personality traits about ourselves as individuals, that helped our business too.
The moderator said, Jay, he said, you know, your personality, he said, you and Amber have an amazing combination. He said, when you guys are ticking, like when you're clicking on all cylinders, you guys are unstoppable and amazing. But when you fight, I bet I could sell tickets. We went, yeah, pretty much.
So what size population or target market area do you invest in?
About 1 million people in the capital region.
Yeah, we're in the capital region of New York, so it's about 2.5 hours north of New York City. People always think, we're from New York. Oh, the city? No, it's a lot bigger state than that.
Yeah, so Albany's like the main city, and then all around it is the capital region.
Yeah, about 1 million people in about 5 different counties. A lot of rural stuff that we work with, you know, the communities and suburbs, that kind of stuff.
Right. And how many deals are you doing a year now?
So we'll do probably over 100 this year. Right. About 100 a year, for about 80 to 100. This year we're on track for about 100. Again, if we can get them closed, we're backlogged like 40 deals right now because New York State has, don't even get me going about New York State. They closed down courtrooms. They think the world's dying here. So it's crazy. But we're backlogged, but it is what it is. So
out of those 100 deals, how many of those deals do you stay in and actually do yourself and take down and rehab if it needs it? And what percentage of them are wholesale?
About 80% are probably wholesale, where we just buy off and sell to somebody else. Then about, you know, probably 10-ish of those are, we cherry pick the renovations now. We used to do all the renovations. Now we just cherry pick. Well, you know, after a while you're like, enough, I can't take anymore. So we did that. And then we try and hang on to about 10 a year in rentals. Now we've got about 40 something rentals. They're all single family, a couple two families, but mostly all single family. We also do, Amber has really taken on building an Airbnb wing of our business, another business that we have. And that's been really taking off, and we are not in a vacation location at all. We are in the capital region. Matter of fact, it's cold up here.
There's nobody that says,
let's. I was almost done, but feel free to jump in.
Yeah, I was going to. So there's nobody that says, hey, let's hop on a plane and go to Albany for vacation. I mean, this is not a vacation destination.
Yeah.
But people come here for weddings and family and graduations and performances and work crews. And so like our Airbnbs, they stay jam packed. We have, we're just finishing up our 8th one this week, and we have 5 more in the works. So we'll have 13, and then we're about to add 2 more to it too.
We are. Those Airbnbs, the funny part is today we signed the literally an hour, not even an hour, 5 minutes before we started this podcast, UJ, we signed a contract on our dream home on the water in Florida, down in Reddington Beach area. So right, just amazing. So the Airbnb business is more than paying for that. Like just the residual income that comes in from that. That's just that business, not including the existing rentals that we have, just regular single family rentals. So, you know, we're big on building passive income. We're big on that. So the wholesaling came about for us very, like a lot, some people nowadays start by wholesaling. All they do is wholesale. They don't really know how to be a renovator, right? So when the market changes, I don't know if they're still going to be around or not, but I tell you, we renovated first for years. All we did was renovate. And we would do 10 deals, 13, 15, 20, 50 deals. And in 1 year, we did like 48 renovations not by ourselves. We didn't do the work ourselves, but we were managing the whole process and all the people. And honestly, I was crying uncle. I felt like it was my arm. It was horrible. It was just a tough year. But around that time, we started to wholesale a few because we used to say no to. So I talked before about doing marketing. And the phone would ring and I'd say, oh, in the city of Schenectady? No, we don't buy there. Thank you. Oh, in the city of Albany? I'm sorry, we don't buy there. No, I don't buy there. And I kept saying that. And one day I thought to myself, am I an idiot? Like, I paid for that lead. I paid thousands of dollars, or maybe it cost $300 for that lead or $100 for that lead. And they're calling me. If there's money to be made there, I should make that. So I started researching and looking about wholesaling. And we did a couple hundred thousand in 1 year. And then we did 400,000 1 year. And now we're doing a couple hundred thousand a month in wholesale deals. And it's you know, the team is... It's just a method to pay the bills and make a profit while I'm looking for good renovation deals and while I'm looking for my real end game, passive income with building wealth through real estate rentals. That's really the game, right? So the money's great. That keeps the wheel moving, keeps all the employees paid, that kind of stuff, makes some profit. But then we're cherry picking those $50,000, $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 renovation deals. But more importantly, we're able to keep those rentals. And for me, that's my end game. And that's, I want to, you know, we want to get to at least 100 of those. I'm not looking to have thousands like some people do. I just want to have 100, maybe a couple hundred, who knows? I kind of push the bar when I get close sometimes, but as long as those are all stabilized and making money, that's, to me, that's legacy. That's what I want to leave for my children and teach them how to build a business and then have all that income for them. And, you know, I do this, Jay, because I don't want to, I've always joked about this, but now it's actually a reality. We signed the paperwork today, but I said, if you know something, the end of my life comes and I start losing my mind and they want to put me in a home, I don't want to go there. I want to be able to have enough money coming in every month that I can have someone come to me, come take care of me. And if I lose my mind, I'd rather be losing my mind looking at the ocean than sitting in a room looking at a wall someplace. You know what I mean? I may not be with it. Who knows? I may not be with it right. I could be doing that right now. And I think I'm doing a podcast. I don't know, but that's what I do it for, is to have income to give real freedom, because that's real freedom. Flipping house is nice. Wholesaling is nice. But every time you do it, you have to do it again to make more money. You have to do it again to make more money. And in my mind, the more that you can build a portfolio of people that pay you every month, a couple $100, $500, Airbnbs, $1,000 a month, $1,000 a month, that's freedom.
Yeah, and I wish I could, you know, there's you always like look back and go, why didn't I do that sooner? I think that's what we're going to do when we go to Florida. Always. Like, why didn't we move here sooner? But, you know, it's fear that holds people back from becoming investors. You know, I know on our podcast, I'm sure you've got a lot of people that want to get started investing, but they're not actually investors yet because they have that fear. And like, that's one of the reasons we do our home flipping workshop, is we help people get over that fear, because it's about lifestyle. You know, when I think so many people get stuck in what's normal in that 9-to-5 or the corporate world, or, you know, I have to do what I went to college for, or, you know, like they get stuck in that rut and they're scared to kind of step outside of the box. But I think if you can like have the courage to make that move, like there's no looking back because the lifestyle it provides you. I mean, like even as a mom, we have four kids, two of them are young, they're 5 and 8 years old. And so, you know, this morning I didn't even come to work until 2:30. I didn't even come to the office until 2:30. I was helping them with their schoolwork. And, you know, we Sunday, we just got back from being in Florida for 2 weeks. We were going to stay for 10 days and we're like, what the heck? It's cold at home. Let's stay, let's extend our stay. So like we didn't have a boss we had to call home for and say, hey, can I stay those 4 extra days? And that's nice. It's nice not having to like ask off of work to go to my kid's school or to take them to their doctor appointment or, you know, I'm speaking as a mom here, and I'm sure there's plenty of other things dads could say or just, you know, any individual could say, whether they have kids or not. But the lifestyle that real estate investing provides for you is not something you'll ever be sorry for.
I think you've got to make sure that in life. So if any of your listeners right now are, I'm sure they have business owners that are on here and people that have done a flip or two, they do a couple a year, they're making 80, 100 grand a year, and they feel like this is okay. But I want, you know, if you're listening to this, you probably want more. That's probably something that you're kind of thinking in the back of your mind that we all kind of want more at some level. But, you know, I would say if you've got to be in the right vehicle to have true financial freedom. You have to be in the right vehicle. So you have to look at your actual business that you're in, whether it's your job, a business, a retail business, a small service business, flipping, whatever, and ask yourself, am I in the right vehicle to get me where I want to go? Because I don't care if you're the best race car driver in the world, you know how to make the turns and the brakes and all that stuff. You're the best driver ever, but you show up to the Indy 500 in a go-kart, you're not going to win. I don't care what great driver, what kind of skills you have. It doesn't matter. You got to be in the right vehicle. And I think you and I know, the three of us right now, we all know that real estate for us is that vehicle. I think it is for, that's what we teach in our workshops, right? It's the way we help average people create wealth is through real estate investing. How else can you do it? Right now, the Bitcoin thing, everyone's going nuts about that. And who knows? That might be wonderful for some people. Might be. They also might lose everything. I don't know. Hard to say with that. But one thing that's tried and true is real estate. So we know it works.
Amber, you mentioned starting to grow your all's Airbnb business, and that seems to be a hot topic these days. Would you come back on the show and join me to talk about Airbnb sometime soon?
I'd love to.
Awesome.
I'd love to.
Well, Glenn and Amber, what a joy to have you here on the show. You all are a dynamic couple. I love your story. I love the difference that you're out there making. And so I know folks want to stay connected with you. So how do they stay connected?
Yep. One of the best ways is to go. We have a lot of companies, so we just kind of put everything together at www.glennandamber.com. If they want to know more about the workshop or they can actually learn how to become investors, they can go to homeflippingworkshop.com.
And the home flipping workshop we do now is virtual. So crazy enough, we were doing live workshops in different cities. We were traveling, doing all that. We didn't love the travel part because we were away from our family. We're family people. And all of a sudden when COVID hit, I thought that business might shut down. I'm like, how in the world am I going to make a living? And we converted that to 100% virtual. We do it over Zoom. It's all interactive. It's 3 days.
It's awesome.
We do an actual tour of a house, like virtually. We take them through. We give them a free home living evaluator. We actually Federal Express them a packet to go out. We charge $59 for 3 days to come to the event. We do pretty much one a month this year. And you, again, homeflippingworkshop.com will get you there. But if that's something that you want to see and check out, the fact that you can do it from home and anybody that does attend, I always open the room by thanking them for allowing me to be home with my family while they're home with their family.
We were worried when it went virtual that we wouldn't have that same like in-person feel. Cause usually at the end of the workshops, you know, we're, you know, hearing people's stories and how real estate's going to change their life. And we're giving them hugs and, you know, we're worried about missing that connection, but the feedback we've gotten on their home flipping workshops has been amazing. Like on the Friday night, we stay after and do like a little cocktail hour where we just have normal conversations with people. We do that on Saturday. I mean, it's amazing how Zoom has made the world a smaller place and we're able to connect with more people and really still get to know them and give them a good education. We're all about value too.
And now I'm moving to Florida and nothing changes for us. Our business continues on no matter where we go. So Jay, I appreciate you having us on though, but yeah, check out our websites or whatever, but this has been great and it's been life changing for us and the people, it's work. I tell everybody right now, I say it's just hard work, but it's worth it. Nothing else in my life has been this much hard work, but also this worth it.
Glenn and Amber, thank you so much for joining me and I'll be in touch with you soon, I'm sure. And thanks to you for tuning in and joining us here on Real Estate Investing with Jay Connor. Always an honor to have you. I'm Jay Connor, the Private Money Authority, wishing you all the best. And here's to taking your business to the next level. We'll see you right here on the next episode of Real Estate Investing with Jay Connor.